Quel'Thalas shines once again.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hi there.
Greetings.
For the good of all.
Bromkar.
Hi there.
Our destiny awaits.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
Greetings.
Hello, and welcome to Control-Alt-WoW, the podcast for those of us who love World of Warcraft and love making many alts. Today is Thursday, January 31st, 2008, and I am a Prillian, and with me is...
Blanther, hello.
And this is episode 49, entitled The Cycle of WoW. So, the reason we call it The Cycle of WoW is because World of Warcraft has become a breakthrough kind of game. Of course, there's been MMORPGs and RPGs and other games that people have played obsessively in the past. But because of two things about World of Warcraft, one is that it is very massive. I think Blizzard just announced, 10 million players?
10 million. Yes. So it used to be six, like 6 months ago.
Now, I've been on other MMORPGs, including The Sims Online and Second Life and something else, and they usually were under a million, so 10 million is really big. Have you ever played any other MMORPGs?
I've never played any of the massively multiplayer ones. I have played other RPGs. But this is my first, kind of foray into the kind of community-based game.
Right. So for 10 million, World of Warcraft is pretty big. And the second thing about it is that it has been persistent. In my career as a online gamer, I find that my attention span, my delving into it usually runs out before the second year, or before the end of the second year. And I'm going into my third year of World of Warcraft. And of course, the main reason being is that World of Warcraft has changed dynamically, don't you think?
Since yes. Like, every time they come out with a major revision, it's like a whole new game.
Right.
And I just love it.
Not to mention the upgrades, such as the Burning Crusade, which
was a new game. Yeah.
Yeah, and even just the patches in between have made such a... So, the reason I thought about this is because, and this leads into what I've been doing this week, is that I find myself going through these cycles where I am doing a dedicated playing, leveling, and going out there. And then I find myself, kind of getting into the selling and the leveling up of my craft. So this past week or so, I have actually gone back to my triple boxing roots, and that's been a lot of fun, triple and dual boxing. I've taken Real Fire out with Aunt Rillia, and they went out there because Real Fire turned 58, and she's out in Outland, and she did some, she's been doing some quests. The funny thing was, and I'm sure everybody's experienced this, she did one quest in Thrall Maw and replaced a weapon that she's had for a while. Did you have that experience?
The Thrall Maw? I didn't really, because I had purchased a really nice weapon when I first got to Outland.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of kept that one, but if I hadn't had purchased something off the AH,
right,
I would have been much better.
So, and it was kind of funny because she actually had never gotten two-handed axe. Does Glantha use two-handed axes?
He uses a polearm.
Okay, that's what she had been using for a long time. And then she did the quest where she quit. Well, I don't know if you guys have the same kind of quest, but she has to kill these elemental things and these imps and this big guy with wings. But anyway, she finished this quest, and then she went and got this axe. And it was a really good axe, but I wanted her to get it enchanted by Vale, my enchanter. And Vale has Crusader and Fiery act, life stealing. Oh, I don't know if you're familiar with that. Are you familiar with that enchant?
Well, life stealing, as you hit, you take, not only do you do damage, but you also steal life away from the mob, and you bring, add it to yours, right?
Right. And the Crusader enchantment, I think, that one was really nice because it permanently enchants a melee weapon so that often when attacking, it heals for 75 to 125 and increases strength by 100 for 15 seconds. Which was kind of neat because she'll be, battling something and all of a sudden there's this burst of shimmering light and she's healed a little bit and it does a lot of good power. But the problem was now she's never done two-handed axe, so she had to go all the way to Orgrimmar. That's where the trainer is for the two-handed weapon, the weapon trainer for two-handed axe. It's kind of complicated to figure out where all the trainers are. How do you feel about that?
Well, I can tell you what I did was when I realized around level 50 that it was really cheap, it was like 10 silver.
Right.
I just took a couple hours. I went to every major city and I just learned every weapon there was.
Oh, that's smart.
And so, I mean, I have two-handed swords and one-handed swords, and they're both at zero out of 375 or 350, whatever they are. But I mean, just in case I ever find like a legendary, they have legendary items that are actually orange. Like they're better than purple.
Right? Aren't those
They're
world drops or something?
like world drops. Yeah, like if I ever find one of those and it's a sword, I'm gonna be using that. So that's what I did. So I don't even remember where, those weapon trainers are anymore. But they're all over the place, and it's very, very annoying.
Yeah, but I also think it kind of like gets you out and over to places that you wouldn't normally go to if you didn't
It's
need
kind of like
to.
Darnassus. Like there's
Yeah.
always like one capital city that you never go to.
Yeah.
And for Glanther and for Arlaris, it's Darnassus. Like I You know, it's the main. It's the Night Elf capital,
Yeah.
and there's not much there besides like
And
leatherwork.
it's laid out horribly. It's I don't really like to talk about a lot of cities. I actually, once I figured out Undercity, I actually love it.
Oh, I love Undercity.
Thunderbluff, I think it's so neat that it's up in the air and that it's just connected by these bridges. Of course, once you fall off of one.
Yeah, that's not good.
No, have you ever?
Oh, of course. I think it's like a standard,
Right, and then you gotta run around to tr not only do you have to run around and try to find your body, then you gotta run around and try to figure out where the elevator is. And no matter what, you go the wrong way and you end up running towards the opposite elevator.
Now, I'm pretty sure that if you ever fell off that bridge and you died,
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that you could actually go into, I'm pretty sure that you could go into like the city and then go over the bridge where you fell from and resurrect there.
No, you're too far down. You have to get your body on the ground.
Why do I want to, I'm maybe it was a dream I had
Or
then. Because
maybe it was one of the ones that were closer to the
maybe because
ground.
I swear that I was like very, very like I was not actually near my body. I was in the city as a ghost, and I was all of a sudden I got the dialogue box that
Oh,
said resurrect now.
maybe so.
But
I know.
there are different height tiers.
Right, yeah. I know one of them I did go down and then I had to run around. And then I was at a level where I'm like 30 or 25 or something pretty, not big high, but kind of pretty high. And all these stupid, level 5 wolves are chasing after me.
And you're like, oh, are you serious?
But,
'Cause they bite you for like one hit point,
right, yeah. But, you can die from one of those if they get persistent enough and you don't fight back. And so what I ended up doing was after Realfire got the enchantment from Vale, she went to Wailing Cavern because you're now at zero and her maximum is 290. So now she's got to get to 290, which, doesn't make sense to go out there and actually start hitting with at zero, you know, doing regular mobs. So she took Pri, who is my level 18. Well, she was going to be my twink rogue, but I'm not a very good rogue, so I've dropped twinking her. And he took a level 16 warrior into Wailing Cavern, so that she could just, you know, Realfire could just use her double two-handed axe on all these lower level mobs. But because they're in groups, you know, the other two got some experience points, and they also got to complete some quests too. So that was kind of fun. It's always nice to go back to a lower level instance with a high level person. Has Glanther done that?
No. Not really. I've been thinking about going, and now that I have, I got a new toy for my computer. I got a monitor.
Oh.
So now I actually have two different displays. So I'm thinking about maybe actually starting dual boxing. The only thing, though, that's frustrating is that I wish I could have Glanther and Olaris play at the same time, but I would have to go and you know, pay $25 to move one from one account to another.
Right.
And I'm just like, ugh.
Are they on the same server?
They're on the same server, yeah, on the same account.
Okay.
Oh. But like, even so, like, if you log into your account, can you have one account but have different servers? No, right?
No, you can't.
No. Yeah, so they're on the same server on two different accounts. I mean, I was on the same account. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore.
I understood what you meant. I thought one of them was on a different server. That's all. But it's hard to keep track of alts sometimes.
I try to keep most of mine on the same server. The only one I have on a different server is my Night Elf Druid on Lathan.
Oh, okay. Speaking of different servers, the other day there was some bug on Earthen Ring. And a bunch of other servers, the battlegrounds weren't functioning properly. And I also think there was a issue with some pet outside of Sholomont that was easy to get. Anyways, they took the server down and did rolling restarts across, you know, like, I think it must have been like 40 or 50 realms. And our realm was down for over a good hour. So a bunch of AIE people got on another server, and we made level one Draenei and just ran around the starting area. I mean, it was just silly because it's not like we're ever going to go back and play these characters, but it just shows you that when the server's down,
you need it. You need something.
And it doesn't matter if it's just low-level fun stuff. It's still killing stuff and being in this world. And that brings me back to the other thing about World of Warcraft that has been undeniably attractive, is that it's a constant environment. Don't you feel that?
I do like how it's always the same, but it's always a little bit different. Like it's like
the real world. It's there, and it exists. You know that you can go into Earthen Ring. You know that you can go in and see your characters, and you know that you will see these other people. Like, you know, when you go outside your house, you'll see your neighbors.
Mm-hmm. Like, or you may not see your neighbors, but you know where they live. You know,
right. Yeah, you'll see some neighbors. You might not see another, but you know they're still around. Even though, so I wanted to, I know what I wanted to say. Do you know when World of Warcraft first came out?
It was June of 2005, right?
It was actually November 23rd of 2004.
November, whoops, where?
2004.
I started playing in June, that's why. Right. That's why I was.
I started playing in October of 2005. So it's going on 3 years for me. It's kind of interesting. So, the reason we're talking about this is because the topic today is a cycle of WoW, and we all go through cycles. So I'm back to triple boxing, which was nice. It's sometimes frustrating because you have to focus on all three players, and you can sometimes be killing something over there and realize that one of your guys is dying on the other, on another account. But it's it was a lot of fun, and I'm also triple boxing with Trishel. Trishel and Audrion, who is, Trishel is my level 52 hunter. I have a lot of hunters. I got asked one day when I was dual boxing a hunter and a hunter twink, why was I doing another hunter? But I mean, I think you can do multiple of any class.
You know, I really like hunters. And yeah. In fact, like, I find them to be one of those classes where they're like someone who's obsessive compulsive, like they can be their worst nightmare, because with the other roles, I feel like they're more like set in stone. Like you can't really tinker with them as much, because with hunters, you have marksman, mm-hmm. survivalist, mm-hmm. and beast mastery.
Right.
And if you talk to any single person, they'll say that one is better than the other. You know, but like, really, it's a very fine line that you walk between all of those different skill trees. Like most hunters are actually hybrids. You very rarely will find one that's one or the other. But I find like many times with warriors and paladins and rogues and even priests, like you'll find like a very distinct distinction. Like I have a holy priest or a shadow priest, or I have a holy paladin. You know, I have a Tankadin, or I have a retribution paladin. Like people that they can make a type of character and roll with it. But like with hunters, like if you try to do all beast mastery or all marksman or all survivalist, they wouldn't work.
Right.
And so like I'm always looking at Glanther and I'm like, oh, I feel like I want to change him around every day.
Have you respect him?
I've respect him like so many times. And like right now, I've actually gone full circle, and I'm now mostly a marksman again with some beast mastery, but mostly none of the beast mastery spells, only the passive stuff.
Mm.
So like armor and pet damage and better resurrection, you know, stuff like that I don't have to actually cast. I don't have anything like intimidation. I don't have advanced aspect of hawk or any of those things. And supposedly beast mastery is the way to go with hunters when you want to go PvP.
Right.
But like, for me, I always find that to be a little concerning, because what if your pet dies and you're totally, you know,
well,
you're
that's totally the whole blood. Thing. You don't let your pet die.
I know, but like, it just seems like you're banking too much. You know, I like kind of sitting, letting the pet do, like taking all the aggro and kind of having growl on auto. You know, auto cast,
mm-hmm.
and then just kind of sitting back and just wailing, you know, just damage from marksmen. That's how I always played hunters. But if I made another hunter, I'd probably do like a beast mastery and a marksman hunter,
mm-hmm.
and see what happens. Because you basically would have three real characters, because a beast mastery hunter, I mean, that pet will probably be, you know, almost as powerful as
a second player.
Second player,
right.
In many cases, especially at level 70.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's a great way to get, you know, instead of being just dual boxing, you could kind of, in a sense, have triple boxing.
Right.
And be able to get through. Like, I would think that, you know, you couldn't do dungeons at the level. Like, if you were in your 40s, you wouldn't be able to, with a beast mastery hunter and a marksman hunter, go into Zul'Farak. Because Zul'Farak, you know, is like a level 40-ish dungeon. But you wouldn't be able to go in with that group of three to
right.
dungeons that were like 10 or 15 levels below you. So if you're level 55, you'd be able to go to Zul'Farak with just two hunters, one beast mastery and then one marksman, and you probably would be able to be okay.
Right. So I guess I just want to extol the virtues of the delight of World of Warcraft and how much I am enjoying it, because I get to do, you know, these different variety of things when I want to solo. And I actually did some soloing. I took Aunt Rillia into Winterspring. Now, okay, before any of you start getting all riled up, why am I going into Vanilla WoW when Aunt Amelia is level 62? It was fun, and I did it for one reason. I needed rune cloth. I'm trying to level up Aprillian. She's almost at level 300 in tailoring. And I've gotten to the point where I refuse to pay some of these prices on the auction house. There's some things I don't mind paying. But if I can go out and even in Winter Spring, even though she's 62, Aunt Amelia was getting XP. And she also got a bunch of green stuff that Vale will be able to DE. Which, you know, leads me to one of the things that I like to point out, and I don't think it's understood, and that a lot of the reasons you get lower level things is so you can pass them on to your lower level alts. Don't you think?
Oh, yeah. And sometimes I like to, like, well, I can only hoard so much, because when you find something that's like really low level, when you're playing a higher level alt, mm-hmm. I actually find it more exciting than finding something really good. Because nothing is more frustrating than for me while playing Glanther to find some really great plate gear.
Right.
That, you know, he can't use but Alaris can use.
Oh, yeah.
But the plate gear requires like level 63.
Mm.
You know, and like I would love to be able to take like that lower level stuff. If I find something which is like really crappy for a level 70, but it's like requires only level 50 for, you know, for a level, I get excited because that's something that Alaris could use.
Right, right. And that's I think that's why, you know, it's good to have alts on World of Warcraft. So what else has been going on? Let's see. I think I covered everything. I've been doing a couple of transmuting, or not transmuting, but cool, using a couple of cooldowns. Trishel can transmute Arcanite bars, and I've been keeping up on that, getting my arcane crystals from my alliance alt on the auction house as she sells those pets. And she's still making money selling those pets. It's not as big as it was during Christmas, but she makes enough to keep me in arcane crystals and other things that I need that I can't process, that sometimes I can't find on the Horde auction house. And I'm doing fell cloth. Have you ever done tailoring?
Palinor has tailoring, but he's only level 22.
Oh, okay. Because Aprillian, every 3 days in 22 hours, she can make moon cloth out of fell cloth. And she can't do anything with moon cloth just yet. When she hits level 300, I think I have a recipe that she can learn. But it's amazing. How can anybody make anything when it's 3 days and 22 hours of a cooldown? So I'm keeping on top of these because these two cooldowns are very valuable. Trishel's transmute.
Can't you buy moon cloth, or is it bind after a transmute?
No, you can buy it. But I just imagine it. Shouldn't it be expensive?
Well, I can imagine it would be, but I mean, like,
yeah, it takes two fell cloths, and you can only do it every 3 days and 22 hours. So I'm just trying to bank up enough so that when she does get around to making stuff with moon cloth, thankfully all the recipes I've seen, you only need one moon cloth. She'll be able to do it. She's been actually making money selling soul pouches and mage weave pouches, the enchanted ones. And the soul pouches are 20 slots for the warlocks.
You know what would sell really well on the auction house right now? There's apparently like a satchel for bullets that like for ammo that is a nether weave bag.
Oh, wow.
It is a 20 slot bag.
Oh. Like a quiver?
Yeah, like a quiver. But it's 20. Is it 20? Maybe it's even more than that. Maybe it's like 24.
Mm.
I saw it, and it's a blue. It's a blue ammo pouch. And it was selling, all of them were selling for like 350 gold each.
Wow.
Well, easy.
You know, I have been debating as to whether or not to upgrade some of my... Oh, another scale ammo pouch. I've been debating whether to upgrade. You know, most of my. Everybody has 16 slot bags at this point. How about you?
I mean, I only have some of my characters only have 14 slot bags.
Oh, okay.
But like, Alaris has 14, slot bags. Glanther has some. He has a 16. I'm working. I'm gonna go and do some grinding in Negrand and try to get some more of the Halani tokens because there's a PvP faction that. You get 20 of this crystal dust and you turn it into the PvP town, and
Okay.
it's kind of neat because the town has to be occupied and by it has to be occupied by the Alliance in order for me to go in and actually trade these in.
Right.
If it's not, I have to go and fight the horde there to try and get the town. And in order to fight, you have to actually first clear away all the guards. And so you actually go to these wyvern roosts, and you get on them, and you do bombing strafes. And you basically bomb all these really high-level mobs. And once you bomb them all the way, then you have to also contend with all the horde characters that are flagged for PvP that will be trying to maintain the town, because you're fighting mobs and
Oh,
other characters.
how cool.
But like the bombs don't hurt the real characters, they only really hurt the mobs.
That
So
makes
really you do need a big group. But anyway, I'm kind of going off the topic. But after I get 8 of these tokens, I can get a blue slotted 18 bag called a Halani, like a Halani bag. And I'm excited about that. I mean, I have just a few more tokens to go. I have to just go and grind some more ogres.
Oh, yeah, I see. Another scale ammo pouch. It's a 24 slot.
Yes,
Yeah,
yes.
very nice. I have been saving up so much money. I now have over 1,200 gold in the guild bank right now.
That's how much gold Glantha has, but I haven't been farming gold recently because I've been fishing,
Right.
which is, it's kind of a wash. You don't make any money, you don't lose any money.
But
And because
isn't
you're
it
fishing, you're not.
relaxing?
It can be relaxing, but it can be a little dull too.
Well, okay, why don't you go ahead and tell us what you've been doing?
This week, I've been. Well, real life has been a little crazy. Like, I don't know what's been going on, but there's and new initiatives at work often mean a lot more stress and longer days. And so sometimes I'll come home and I'll just be totally, totally beat. And as much as WoW can be relaxing, it can also be kind of stressful, especially if you want to go and like get into like a dungeon or or go and like do a lot of like higher end farming, because you get your adrenaline going a little bit when you're out and you have to fight all these different mobs and stuff like that. And so just like the past week, I've been trying to just kind of go the more relaxing route, log in, check my mail, and then do some fishing
Right.
to kind of calm me down. Because it's a great place to go to kind of just for a little bit, kind of escape, real life, go into the Azeroth, where everyone's your friend. If they're not your friend, you can just ignore them. And but it's not that exciting. I caught lots of stone scale eels, and I got some winter squid. And still have not found that book, but as you kind of were telling me earlier, I didn't know I had to go and fish in garbage or junk floating
Right,
around to find that book.
floating debris, I believe. If anybody else knows anything about finding this book, it's the one that lets you teaches you how to track nodes. As far as I know, you fish in junk, and then you get one of those foot lockers.
And that's inside the Foot Locker. Is it a locked Foot Locker?
No, no.
Okay, so I won't need a rogue to actually open it up. Okay,
Right.
that's good.
Yeah. But, yeah, because I know I got it on my level 17 on the thon, and And she didn't have, you know, she doesn't know any rogues. She's practically by herself. So, yeah.
That's not your alliance character on Lathaun, is it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, she's my... Well, when I started off on Lathaun, I started off with Horde, and she was one of the Hordes. And I got her fishing up because originally our guild on that server was called the Fat Loot Fishers. And it was supposed to be kind of an answer to AIE on Lathaun, but it didn't pan out. Because some people wanted to be on a PvP server. And I have to tell you, I really enjoy being on a PvP server. It makes a big difference. Because you never, you know, you have that added... And here again, we have the cycle of WoW. Because I remember when I first started off thinking how awful PvP was, because you have that added bonus of never knowing when someone was going to come up and kill you. But actually, that's kind of a neat trick, a neat treat, now that I know, you know, what I'm doing.
Well, now you know what you're doing. Like, see, I would be pulverized. I really am. Like, even though I have a level 70, there are times when I'm almost ashamed to go and talk to other level 70s. Because I feel like I don't get it. Because I didn't get to level 70 with a guild. I didn't do it doing lots of instance runs. You know, everything. You know what it's like? It's like if...
If you were homeschooled.
Like no. It's like, okay. It's like if I, you know, if that kid who actually works really hard for their grades.
Right.
And, like, goes to Harvard, works throughout Harvard, and, like, fights the corporate ladder, and then ends up being, like, one of, like, you know, ends up becoming wealthy, but then all of their people that they're around all day are people that were, like, born into wealth.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so, like, even though you're at the same level, right, like, your mentality is completely different. Like, people, like, will look at me and be like, don't you know this, or don't you know that, or...
Or look at that gear that he's wearing. Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're, like, just blue, you know, like, or, you know what I mean? Like, so I feel like I'm in, like, the wrong company. But, like, you need these people, though, because without them, you're not going to be able to do any of the other content, so...
But, I guess it's, on yeah. the other hand, you have to be aware, and this is how I think of it. You know, I get to play WoW a lot, but I don't play it as hard and as dedicated as some people do. And I think that some of the people, and I'm not belittling these people, but there are some people who have nothing to do with their time. And they spend time researching everything, getting together with these instances, spending a lot of time, you know, to find out and to...
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, to play WoW. And there are other people who just don't have that amount of time. And that doesn't make them any worse. It just means that
they're busy with other things. Yeah.
So I'm going to pause here for a second so I can save this. And we'll be right back. All right. So basically what we're saying is that World of Warcraft is full of possibilities. And, oh, but one of the possibilities that drives me crazy is Trade Chat. Do you pay attention to Trade Chat?
Oh, Trade Chat. Well, let's see. Last time I was on Trade Chat, they were talking about, there were two things, really. They were talking about Britney Spears and abortion. And then the other time they were talking about... how all Muslims are terrorists. So, I mean, it's quite intellectual, stimulating discussions that happen on Trade Chat.
Is that what you call it?
Yes, and if you can't tell my sarcasm, then I'll let you all know I'm being sarcastic. But, like, every once in a while, somebody will come in and they'll say, this is the Trade Chat, and they might as well have... You know, they might as well be like just like talking to themselves. It doesn't make a difference. And I guess people are trading something. I mean, they're trading, you know, ridiculous conversations. But yeah, Trade Chat I think is pretty much useless at this point.
I mean, you do actually see some trade going on here and there.
Yeah, but proportionally.
For the most are, it's used as a super general chat. And it's very annoying because even to say something to shut someone up.
You're spamming the trade channel.
Yes. You're doing the one thing that you hate. So it's almost like the only thing you can do is just ignore it. I wish there was some other solution.
You know, one thing that I have a hard time is with this policy that people have. There's a mentality. I see it a lot on the Alliance servers, but I don't play enough Horde to know if it's there too. But the idea that just because there's a profanity filter in World of Warcraft doesn't give you the right to say certain things.
Right.
Because, like, we're all adults. I mean, every once in a while we'll have, you know, the curse words, you know, fine. You know, profanity filters are fine for that, you know. But there's some stuff out there that, like, ethnic slurs, derogatory comments, you know. And, you know, if you say, like, wow, like, that is not cool, they'll, like, turn on your profanity filter. And I'm like, my profanity filter, you know, is, but, you know, if you
still tell what you're saying.
You know, if they say something like, I'm not actually going to say anything, but if they're like, wow, that guy is, you know, his skin color is really dark. He must be a real, you know, squiggly lines all over the place. I mean, you can put two and two together and you can figure out, like, what they're actually saying. And I don't appreciate that.
I don't want it in my game.
I don't want it in my game. I pay money and I don't have to deal with it. And the idea that, like, oh, you don't actually see the word. It's like, it's not, maybe I'm just a crazy Northeast liberal, you know. And I love freedom of speech, but at the same time, like, freedom of speech, you know, you need responsibility comes with that.
And sometimes I feel like I'm a prude because I think I don't even want to see the acronyms.
I know.
There's certain acronyms that are used very frequently, and to me, that just means the same thing as the word. So I don't understand. But I just wanted to throw that out there. If you think that I'm a prude or that I should just deal with it, which I, you know, I overlook it and everything. I just wish it wasn't there. You can always write us at controlaltwow@gmail.com. Okay, so now we're going to get to... Did you want to say anything else on that subject, or...
No, I had my official say. I feel like Andy Rooney.
Yeah. You know,
yeah. This is cantankerous old man who should have been dead like 30 years ago.
Oh, but sometimes he has very valid points. So maybe that's,
oh, yeah,
that's my age showing.
But he's like the young people of America.
Why do they do that? Why do you suppose?
He's like, what is this thing called the internet? You're like, oh, Andy Rooney.
What is this thing called trade chat? Right. So, now, we ran a few weeks ago. We started talking about a little contest. And we wanted to hear from various people on how you play. And we got some responses. Some were very detailed, and we're very... We're very thankful to everyone who wrote, and I did want to mention a couple of names that were particularly of interest to us, but didn't win. Carlton, thank you for your letter. You made up some very good points. And also Josh. And Josh also sent us a link to some videos, which is nice. We appreciate that, and we want to hear more from you. And there was one other person that we were particularly enjoyed reading. Well, there was Ryan. And what was the other guy?
Wait, where was it? We had Josh, Ryan, and we got John, right?
Right, and John.
Okay, all right.
John was very interesting too. But the one that we really liked, and we read in the last week's episode, it's also in last week's show notes, was Segalia. And Segalia embodies a lot of what we felt like Control-Alt-Wow is about. And so we'd like to congratulate you on winning this contest, and the prize was the Battle Chest Pack. And if you can write me at Control-Alt-Wow and let me know how you would like me to send this to you. And we hope that you will enjoy it.
The one thing I like to think about Sigala is that in the email, and in the email they said, so anyway, I'm rambling, dot, dot, dot. And I think that pretty much sums up Control-Alt-Wall the podcast, you know? So it was very very
embodiment
funny.
Embodiment of...
Yes, yeah. Embodiment of what altaholics are. That we end up kind of rambling because we can't really pick one thing and stick with it.
Right. Well, that's why we are altaholics. We don't pick one thing and stick with it. We like to...
We like to ramble.
And Sigala says that he or she is going to use this account to start dual boxing. So we'd like to hear from you what happens with your dual boxing, and we look forward to hearing from you in the future. So thanks for everyone who participated in this contest. And we'll be doing more contests in the future. If you have any more ideas that you'd like to submit or you want to tell us about how you play and why you're an altaholic, you can write us at controlaltwow@gmail.com. That's controlaltwow@gmail.com. Thank you. We're going to take one more break. As you know, I dual and triple box. I have an iMac and a MacBook Pro side by side connected to a KVM switch. And then I have three monitors. The iMac has a monitor, obviously. And then I have a HDTV 27-inch monitor and a cinema display 20-inch monitor. The HDTV is actually connected to the iMac, and then I run two accounts on the iMac, so you can actually dual box using just one computer. You don't necessarily have to have two, but you do have to have it in two separate folders. You can't run it off of just one folder of World of Warcraft. And then what I do is I alt control, and I also make an alias. I don't know, you know, how you would do it on the PC. I think you make make aliases on the PC? Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And give it a name, and then in my dock for the Mac, I have two separate icons for each version, and then that way I can know which one I call up. Of course, if you check remember this account, then, you know, when you start up one, and the reason why this is important is because you want to play each account in the same folder consistently because of the things that are saved in each directory. There are certain preferences. The add-ons are saved, and the there's different things that would make your gameplay. Your macros are saved and everything. So as opposed to, like, say you have account A on one and you have account A and B, you don't want to keep doing B on, you know, switching back and forth and doing B in one instance, one folder, and A in the other, and because you'll lose information. So that's how you do it when you only have one computer, and then I have another account on my other computer. So now Glanther is going to delve into dual boxing.
Yes, I have a friend who got a new computer, and they kind of gave me, I had to buy it off of them, but I got a secondary display, so I can hook it up to my MacBook Pro now, and I can actually have, you know, two screens going on at the same time. So now I can finally dual box, because before I would have to go and have, you know, windows on top of each other, and it just would be really crazy. I wouldn't be able to do that, really. Is that very effective?
Right, you have to keep alt-tabbing and command-tabbing.
But now I could just, you know, move the cursor over to one display and just click inside that window, and it becomes active.
Right. So it'd be much... alt-tab between the two. So.
Yeah, you could do that. But I'm looking forward to... I can now finally dual box. And there's a, I'm really very kind of nervous about it because there's so many questions now of like, oh man, like, how is this really going to work? Because there are times when, you know, it's just one character. You're really all over the keyboard trying to do everything. So as two characters, like, what would actually happen? And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to start off and not make it too hard on myself and have one of my characters be a hunter. And I'm thinking of that because hunters, you know, and warlocks are kind of like kind of the easy button, but hunters even more so because you send it in the pet and then you can just do auto shoot and they're kind of off on the side doing their own thing. Whereas with warlocks, you have to kind of, you know, manage some spells a little bit. But then, like the other character, I have not a clue what I'm going to do. And I'm even thinking, like, what do you do? Like, do you do horde? Do you do alliance? Like, there's so many different things that you can do. So I'm actually very lucky that I'm going to be starting dual boxing, and I have with me a dual boxing pro in the
Well,
form of
now
a.
I'm looking forward to your take on it because I think that you will do a little bit more research than I do, and I expect that you will surpass me, Grasshopper.
But it's very, very, it's a very, very exciting kind of, you know, idea. And like, do I do, you know, the same faction? Do I do two different factions? I mean, what would be the best kind of thing to do? Like, so if you could give me some tips, Aprilian, because it'd be really kind of very nice because you'd also be giving tips to all the people out there who would be dual boxing, including Sagala. So.
Right. So hunters are really, of course, the easy button. And it's good to have one of those because they can auto shoot. Auto shoot is very important because there are times when you are going to not have your attention on the hunter. And you can basically, the neatest thing about the hunter is that while it's the pet is taking care of things, even if the mob comes up close, the hunter will start fighting. Now, I do sometimes do a hunter and a warlock. Remember, Aprilian is a warlock, and Ardrion is a hunter, and even that's kind of neat because one thing is with and especially in the beginning, when do you get the
You get pets and the Voidwalker at level 10.
right you get no you get the imp at five.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Also, I've had or heard of some people who've had some success with either a hunter and a druid.
What
And
is it
no,
that a
no.
Sheo has? A Sheo
Yeah,
has
she's a
a
hunter and a it's not a druid. What's the other one?
I thought she was a druid.
Which one doesn't do totems? Who does totems?
Totems are shamans.
Okay, yeah, hunter and a druid.
Okay.
Which is nice because a druid can resurrect, and so that's a good combination. Have you done a druid in the before?
No, the only druid I've ever really done is the one on Lathaun on the PvP
Oh.
server, and only at level 15. I would love to do a druid.
Okay.
And the thing is that you know me, and I really have a core fundamental belief that, you know, I love playing the Alliance. But if there's one race that I hate the most, it's the Night Elves. And I don't say I hate Night Elves. I just don't, like, they're my least favorite. Like, Kalimdor is not my thing. I'm not a big fan of Darnassus. Like, it's kind of a, it's like a city's laid out kind of, you know, strangely. And, so if I played a druid, I'd want to be, you know, a tauren, which means I'd have to go horde again,
Right.
which I say like it's such a bad thing. But I mean, it's like that other world, and
Right.
I mean, it's very, very intimidating because not only am I in like a brand new world, I'm also trying to dual box. So it's like there's
Right.
no.
I would really suggest that you do something that you're more comfortable with. And also, I wouldn't suggest you do a character that you're not familiar
Familiar
with.
with,
So
because I
what?
know hunters, I know paladins. I could, like, I thought about, you know, I could
A
take,
hunter and a paladin would be great together.
you know, I suppose I could, you know, pay some money and transfer Alaris over to a different, you know, my other account, because you can transfer from account
To count,
to
yeah,
account,
right.
and I wouldn't have to worry about renaming
Right, because
because they're on the same
same server.
server. So that's one option that I have. And that would certainly help out Alaris a lot, because when you have a level 70 kind of at your back, you can basically kind of plow through most of like the quests that are out there.
Right.
The only thing though is that my cat would have to, turn off growl. Because as a Tankadin, like my damage output is based on it's based on people coming after me.
Mm-hmm. But because you wouldn't want him to be.
I wouldn't want them to go, kind of the other way.
Right.
Well, maybe I could respect the paladin, but I really like shields. Mm-hmm. I would love to use a shield, and you can't have a retribution paladin using a shield. Like it just doesn't work. Or I could make two new characters. I could make a druid and a hunter, like a Tauren druid and hunter.
Right. And so that way you'd be in the same starting area.
Same starting area. I'd know how to use one, and it'd be kind of neat because you can kind of see, from the role playing kind of side of it. You can see a guy kind of running around with two cats, and you're like, oh, you have two pets, and like one morphs into another guy,
Yeah,
I know you could tell that,
Right, but still, that would be kind of neat looking, especially for role playing server.
Yeah, even though the role playing servers, it's just really difficult to, find role players anymore on there. But if I was Horde, I'd be able to eventually be part of AIE, potentially.
Yeah, that's true.
Which would really solve, I really know that guilds are just really, really important, especially at higher levels, is because they keep the game just really fresh and exciting. And I know I'd have a really great officer in the guild. I'd have a.
I'm Aprilian is a Centurion in Lai Acta F, which is really a lot of fun. But sometimes it's a big responsibility too. But it's really neat. And yes, getting in a good guild is key to another aspect of the game. Of course, you can always play solo, but there are times when you do miss having a guild. So, you're going to go out and duel box.
I'm going to go out and duel box. I just got to figure out what I'm going to do, but...
And next week, you're going to tell us all about it.
And one other thing I kind of want to just talk about, I think it's so... cute. I just love it. It's a little crude, but not that bad, because it is World of Warcraft. But there are these new t-shirts that they're selling on the World of Warcraft website that are like they're both Horde and Alliance, and they're if you haven't seen them yet, you have to go to worldofwarcraft.com and click on those shirts by the this company called Jinx. And there's one that's it's just really funny. It says, "Tanks, you're welcome." And it shows this guy in like this, decked out, and he has all these arrows stuck in him, and like he's been, like a totally thankless job. And there's a woman's t-shirt that has a picture of a chest, like an actual chest, right on her chest, and it says, "Locked chest. Requires lockpicking, skill level 376.
That's very cute.
I find that really cute. That's something that, like, if you wore that out in public, like, only 10 million people would actually get that in the whole world, But it would be so worth it, Because it is really, really funny. But that's all. I just wanted to kind of talk about that. Because I found that really cute. I want to share it with people. Share it with others that they need to go check out those shirts because they are kind of funny.
Yeah. I think that brings us to the end of another podcast. Anything else you wanted to add?
No, that's about all. It'll be nice to do something besides fishing for a little bit.
Yeah, so we look forward to hearing from you about your duel boxing. Anybody else out there duel boxing who has set up any macros or anything, we'd love to hear from them and maybe even... feature you on an episode of Control Alt Wow. I haven't done a lot of macroing. I don't even use slash assist. I just use slash follow, slash target so and so, and then slash follow. And that's the only macro I use. But I know there's a bunch out there that are, that can add a lot more. And I'm sure you'll find some. You think you'll be using macros?
I mean, I'm going to look into it for, to start off with. I think I'll probably just try to get, you know, try to figure out which characters we're going to play together. And then I'll figure out, like, I think the best thing would probably be to take two characters and start from scratch.
Right.
Because when you start from scratch, you really are kind of like you go through the learning grounds. I don't think starting with like a level 70 and level 46, because you're learning how to dual box, but you're already like at like higher level stuff. So the mobs will just kind of completely and totally tear you apart.
Right.
So I'll probably make some new stuff.
Alrighty. So this is Control-Alt-Wow.
Thank you so much for listening, everyone.
And we're gonna be looking forward to hearing from you next episode. It'll be episode 50. Woot.
Ooh.
And this is Aprillion for the Horde.
And Glanther for the Alliance, maybe Horde.
You
All
always
right.
be victorious.
May the gates of Quel'Thalas be open to you. Always.
May our paths cross again.
Catch you later.
Al-Dir Shalah.
Go in peace.